So our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 Corinthians, these words, God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when the Japanese, yes, the Japanese, when they attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, the Japanese used 353 airplanes launched from six aircraft carriers. And those six aircraft carriers were supported by 18 other seagoing vessels. On that same day, they also attacked Guam and the Philippines and Wake Island, Hong Kong, and Thailand. Obviously, with forces of great strength and might. Power used for an incredible surprise attack. Now, when Germany had invaded Poland just 2 years before then, 1939, they had used 900 bombers, 400 fighter aircraft, 2,000 tanks, and 1.5 million soldiers entering Poland from three different directions. More recently, almost 2,800 aircraft were used in Operation Desert Storm back in 1991 by the Gulf War Coalition to expel the Iraq Army from Kuwait, along with 1,800 tanks, 697,000 U.S. troops, and also the armies of 41 other coalition countries. The point, in order to invade, in order to conquer, in order to expel the army of one country from another, the only option in this world is force, is might, is strength. There's no getting around that. That's the way the world works. Heavy equipment operators will tell us the same thing. The more we want to accomplish, the more earth we want to move, the more coal or iron ore we want to dig, the bigger equipment has to be. Any of you have been up north, you know the huge equipment they use in the open pit mines up there. And there is a reason before the drafting of NFL players in the spring that they hold what's called a combine, where all the potential draftees appeared and are measured for height and weight and strength and quickness and speed and agility, for bigger is better than smaller, faster is better than slower, stronger is better than weaker. Stronger is better than weaker. So the world, so life in the world, so our existence in the world in some sort of Darwinian reality, the most powerful within the world today, excelling those with little power, with little strength, struggling. The game we played as kids on the playground at school, King of the Mountain, where one child would stand on an elevated pile of snow, and the others around him attempt to drive him off that mountain. Yes, the childhood game of King of the Mountain was all we needed to experience to learn that in the world, the strong dominate, the strong conquer, the strong succeed. But that being said, what did God use? What did God use to succeed, that is, to conquer the nations of the world, all nations? God's invasion of the world was not accompanied by massive amounts of airplanes and tanks and a huge military force. No, the invasion of God, God's invasion of the world, was led by a measly army of one single person. And not even a single person fully grown, protected by all the latest high-tech gear worn by soldiers nowadays. No, the invasion of God, God's invasion of the world, was an invasion of, well, little baby boy. And through that little baby boy, the force occupying the world, that is the massive army of the demons of Satan, would be driven out, that is, driven back, expelled from the hearts of mankind. Yes, I know it sounds crazy, but it explains why the demons knew who Jesus was and also why they had to bow to his authority. And how did Christ wield that authority of power? Well, by means of simple words. Letters put together into words. And those words formed into sentences. Sentences that stated what in fact was true. So Jesus, in his interview with interrogation really by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, Jesus said, "My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You're a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Now, that exchange between Jesus and Pilate also helps us to understand why the people listened to the teaching of Jesus, because he taught them as one who had authority, that is, who spoke the truth, and not like the scribes and the Pharisees who hemmed and hawed and hid their ignorance in extensive and confusing digressions. So, what then is more weak in the world than a little baby? It's a little baby that God, as a little baby, that God made himself known to the world in Jesus in Bethlehem. And as a man at the age of 30, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And when that occurred, the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And yet, Jesus was not an army. Jesus didn't have an air force, and Jesus didn't have tanks. He didn't have armored personnel vehicles. Yes, Jesus had a whole host of angels at his command, but he didn't use them. Instead, as one person, the very Son of God, endowed with the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke the kingdom of heaven into existence. Jesus spoke the kingdom of heaven into existence. And that's still the case today, that the kingdom of God, the invasion of God, is spoken into existence, the Holy Spirit using the words of the gospel to penetrate the hearts of man, driving out Satan there and establishing his kingdom. So the reality, when the Emperor Constantine promoted Christianity for the first time throughout the Roman Empire, that's in the 4th century, 300 years after the crucifixion and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Yes, when the Emperor Constantine began to openly promote Christianity, he didn't have to send his armies throughout the Roman Empire and force the people to become Christians. But all the Emperor Constantine had to do was proclaim what was already true, that the Roman Empire was already Christian. That through the preaching of the apostles and the generations of Christians that followed those apostles, Christianity had supplanted all of the pagan religions that existed throughout the empire. Those religions supplanted by the preaching of the Word of God. Yes, 3 centuries of the Holy Spirit convicting the hearts of mankind of sin and righteousness and judgment. 3 centuries of the minions of Satan being driven out of the hearts of man. Now, you'd think that armies, that is, strength and force and power, would have been a better way to go. But a funny thing happened. That is, as the Romans first despised the Christians of Rome, the city of Rome, and persecuted them, and then executed them for their entertainment in the Colosseum there. Yes, in seeing the joy of the Christians upon whom they set the lions, and the Christians' lack of willingness to fight back in any way from their horrific deaths. The Romans themselves, the mightiest of people on earth in the time, the strongest of peoples, came to realize that they themselves were simply barbarians and that their lives were a sham. and that their entertainments were simply crude. The weakness of the Christians being slaughtered then shamed the strength of Rome. Foolishness of preaching then, the preaching of our new life in Christ, our life of forgiveness through faith in Him. And the peace that flows from that realization of that forgiveness, the joy that follows, and the love that is then expressed, it can't be established in any other way than through the change of heart created within us by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. So our worship service of weakness, which is all about Jesus, about hearing His words, about receiving His sacraments, about faith which knows that it's through such words and sacraments that the Holy Spirit is actually working within us. Even though there's nothing actually special about the words that we use. I mean, the words that we use are everyday words, which everyone can understand. Now, in Luther's day, in the 16th century, the worship service was mostly in Latin. That is a language the common person could not understand. So the words of worship they heard in Latin took on magical qualities in their minds. Like something said by a Harry Potter character, wand in hand, or the fairy godmother in Disney's classic Cinderella, turning a pumpkin into a carriage that Cinderella could then ride to the ball. Salagadula, Minchigabula, Bippity-boppity-boo. Remember that? So the magical enchantment of taking part in a worship service in Luther's day, listening to words which aren't understood. In the 1990s, Gregorian chant was all the rage. Monks singing in Latin in large cathedrals, a cappella, their wondrous voices making all sorts of wondrous sounds which almost no one could understand. That experience was otherworldly. In the Old Testament, we have Naaman the leper, who journeying to Israel from Syria to be healed of his leprosy, he wanted to hear those mysterious sounds. He wanted to hear that bippity-boppity-boo. But he was greatly disappointed when Elisha the prophet sent his servant to him and said, go bathe in the Jordan River 7 times and your leprosy will be healed. I mean, they were clear words. There was no doubt to them, no mystery. They were just simply the truth. And as you remember, Naaman had to be convinced that he should follow these words, that he should listen to them. And he did, and he was washed, and he was healed in the Jordan. And so were we, spiritually. When we were baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit washing, regenerating, and renewing us, being poured out upon us through Jesus Christ, at that moment, all there were simply words. Simple words, and simply words. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, we have a picture of it up there in our stained glass window that's so nicely done. But that's what was there. Those words. And yet something incredibly powerful happened there, which no army on the face of this earth, no matter how large, no matter how equipped, could ever accomplish. And that is faith in Jesus Christ was worked in the heart of the one baptized. Why is such a momentous thing worked in such a feeble, in such a weak way, a way which over 3 centuries toppled the religions of the Roman Empire? So that we know that it is the work of God and not our work. Otherwise, how could such momentous things result? You know, one of the arguments that was raised about baptizing infants during the Reformation, objections which are still the mainstays of the Baptists around us today, one of those objections was that since babies could not verbalize their faith, they could not and should not be baptized for such a baptism. It just simply wouldn't work. Of course, we remember John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb when he heard the voice of Mary, the Holy Spirit already working within John at that point. But Luther pointed out, if the simple water of baptism did not work upon babies and babies had been baptized since the time of the apostles, baptism simply taking the place of Old Testament circumcision, if the baptism of infants didn't work in the conveying of the Holy Spirit, so Luther, how was it that the church existed at all? I mean, because they'd been baptizing babies for 1,500 years. How was it that the church still existed if it didn't work? Obviously, the very existence of Christians demonstrated the effectiveness of the simple words of baptism and faith that trusts those words. Yes, hearing the words of Jesus, just his simple words, is not it's not that interesting. It's not as interesting as a video game or social media, a favorite hobby, or a football game. But what are those things? Do they bring peace and joy and love? Yes, war does establish an outward peace on earth. Yes, an outward beneficial peace, but at the expense, so often, the scars on the hearts of the soldiers, many of which never heal. Yes, an outward peace is established, but often an inward peace is sacrificed. And what is more, the horrors of war can simply fester and ruminate and ferment within a society, a culture, so that a generation after one war ends, a new war begins. A new war seeking to right the wrongs of the old, seeking payback, seeking revenge. More powerful at establishing a permanent and lasting peace within us? Words. Words, weak as they appear to be, proclaiming to us the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.